Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 4, day 5 of our study of Ezra. I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ezra 4, 23 through 24. Hey, real quick, if you'd like more info on the 10-week Bible study, head over to 10weekbible.com today. We've got lots of helpful resources, links to studies you can lead or read, and a place to sign up for our email list where we will send out weekly updates about the current study as well as news about upcoming studies. All right, thanks. With that, let's jump back into it. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Ezra 4, starting in verse 23. As soon as the copy of the letter of King Artaxerxes was read to Rehum and Shimshai, the secretary and their associates, they went immediately to the Jews in Jerusalem and compelled them by force to stop. So these guys have got an army on their behalf, and they come in with, you know, clubs and swords and spears and tell them, you're going to stop right now. Now, again, this is during the reign of Artaxerxes. This letter was written during the reign of Artaxerxes, and again, they're told to stop. So what this chapter overall is trying to give us the sense of is just the difficulty and the long-lasting nature of that difficulty. I'm going to revert again to the timeline here. If you're watching on YouTube, it's up on screen now. And again, if you're reading or listening to this in the car or just via podcast, I encourage you don't pull up your phone right now and look at this. But if you get the emails, or you can get this from our email list or in the show notes and description, I encourage you to sign up for the email list, because I will be sending out helpful things like this on a regular basis. And I'll send out weekly emails with things in it that will add to this study. But in the timeline here, you can see that this is lasting a long time. We're going from Cyrus the Great. And again, I said this at the beginning, these dates are all very loose. They're very relative. You look at 20 different commentaries and you're going to get 20 different sets of dates. But when you look at this, the dates are close. They're relatively in the right place. So we're not like 100 years off on any of these things. We're relatively close to what I mean, within a few years, certainly within a decade of each other. When looking back this far in time, that's close enough. And so what we see here is this is covering about 100 or so years of resistance against what's going on. We've got Cyrus the Great, then Darius, then Xerxes, then Artaxerxes, and their reigns are lasting through all these time periods. And chapter 3 has taken us and given us information on the resistance through all of these kings of Persia. And we know there's a lot of other things going on. This is only looking at one aspect of what's happening during this time period, and that's the resistance. So chapter 4 is all about the resistance against what's going on over an extended period of time. And so we find out here during this part of the reign of Artaxerxes, the work comes to a standstill again. And this is not the first time it came to a standstill. Probably won't be the last. It's not the last, but they're going to keep working in various intervals. Let's read verse 24. Thus the work of the house of God in Jerusalem came to a standstill until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And again, I want to refer you back to the timeline here. You can see that Darius comes long before Artaxerxes, especially the second year of Darius is way, way far before Artaxerxes. You know, 70 years before Artaxerxes is the second year of the reign of King Darius. And so what this is telling us is we've looked forward into the future, and now we're going back. And so the work did not stop during the second year of the reign of Darius because of this letter written to Artaxerxes. That's not what we're saying. We're just getting this 10,000-foot view, and we're kind of circling back around to you know, this second year of Darius, which is going to be an important time period after we see what happens moving forward in the book of Ezra, the things that the Jews are doing during this time period. Because the work, even though all of this resistance is coming against them, the work at different times is going to continue. It's going to start and stop continuously over a 100-year period. I mean, put yourself in their shoes. There's this excitement, you know, we've seen at the end of chapter 3, there's this shout of joy and weeping simultaneously by the young people and by the old people when the foundation for the temple is laid. The foundation for the temple is laid, all the infrastructure is in place, they're ready to start building, and that's when these people around them realize we've got to stop this. And they are effective at stopping the construction of the temple for about 20 years. But then we're going to find out, and if you're reading through this 10 times in 10 weeks, you already know where this is going. And I encourage you to read this 10 times in 10 weeks. You will get infinitely more out of this study if you commit to reading the books that we go through 10 times in 10 weeks. Because what you do is you get 10 times more the Word of God in you than you do just of my commentary and my thoughts and my exposition on this. And that's what I want for you. I want for you to get God's word. I want the scales to be tipped in the favor of God's word rather than my words or anyone else's words. I want you to know God's word more than anything else. That's where the power of reading this 10 times in 10 weeks comes from. And so what we see here is, you know, this continual back and forth of this rebuilding process. And it is to me, when I'm reading this, it feels like it's giving me the understanding that it feels like you're walking uphill through waist deep mud. You know, it's just this impossible task. I remember going fishing when I was in high school. I lived on the Gulf Coast in Texas, and I went fishing in the Intercoastal Waterway at one point. And I was walking out into the water, and there was literally several feet of muck underwater, to where as every step my foot would sink down to the middle of my thigh, and every step, like I would literally sink down that deep, and I would have to, you know, kind of break the suction that was on my foot in that muck and my leg and pull it out, and then take another step, and with every step you feel like you're gonna fall over. And that's what this feels like. It feels like you're walking through this muck uphill trying to get this city built. That's kind of the story of Ezra, is the difficulty with which all of this is going to happen. Really, Ezra and Nehemiah are going to explain the difficulty. But even amidst the difficulty, we're going to see that the Jewish people, the Lord is not going to hold them guiltless, right? He told them to go do it. He didn't tell them to do it unless it gets hard, unless the people come against you. That's not what he said. He said, go do this. I'm sending you back to rebuild this place. Do it. And the same thing the Lord could say to us is I'm sending you to do these things. I'm giving you grace to do these things, not until they get hard. Don't give up. I mean, this is such an important message for us today in our society. If you live in the United States or in the West today, you know how difficult it has gotten to be a Christian in the workplace, on social media, in so many aspects of our lives. We see the difficulty, and we see the rising tide of the enemies of the Lord coming against us right now. We are living in a very similar time to this all around the world. The enemies of the Lord, they're rising. They're getting more vocal. They're getting more angry. And the Lord says, keep going. I want you sharing the gospel. I want you sharing the good news with people. And us proselytizing, us sharing and evangelizing with people, it's making the enemies of the Lord more and more angry. And when we speak the truth about God and sin and needing a Savior because of our sin, those things are not welcome anymore. And the voice against that is rising. The laws against us being able to speak in that way are increasing in various places in the West right now. And the tech companies, they're coming against believers who are not trying to come up with anything new, not being hateful, just holding the line that Christians have taught and believed for thousands of years. are coming against us in that way. And I don't want to liken what people in the West are going through right now to the types of persecution that are going on in other places around the world, India and Pakistan and Iran and places like that. It doesn't even compare. It doesn't even compare. The type of persecution they're going through right now is intense. I mean, people are literally actually losing their lives on a regular basis in those places. That's not what we're going through. But we are going through things like this, where there is this bureaucratic, like, treachery that's coming against us. And it makes what we're doing difficult. And as we're going to see moving forward, the Lord is going to send prophets. He's going to send Haggai and Zechariah to the Jews in Jerusalem to tell them, you stopped working because these people came against you. When you stopped working, you put your attention toward other things. I didn't tell you to do that. And it's cost you. We're going to find it's going to cost them. Stopping the work is going to cost them. The Lord said, they told you to stop. I didn't tell you to stop. And the Lord would say the same thing to us today, is that we don't stop because tech companies or governments come against us. In the book of Acts, in chapter 4, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had thrown Peter and John and James in prison, and they beat them, and then they brought them out and commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. And Peter replied to them and said, listen, whether it's right for us to obey God or man, that's for you to decide. You can think that through. But as for us, there is no way we can stop speaking about Jesus. You can beat us as often as you want. You can threaten us as often as you want. We're not going to stop. We need to have that kind of resolve. My prayer is always that the Lord would bless us and that it wouldn't come to beatings and to people losing jobs and things like that. That it wouldn't come to actual persecution where there is physical pain, where there's loss of property and loss of life. My prayer is that's not what happens in the West. But even if that's where we're headed, the Lord has commanded us not to back down. Because the kingdom of God is an eternal kingdom. And the way there is a narrow path. And Jesus said, few will find it. We want to pray in a figurative understanding of that word few. As believers, we want to gather as many people for Jesus as possible. We do not want people to remain enemies of God. We want people to become friends of God, sons of God, through repentance and turning to Him. And that compels us to keep pressing on. That compels us to keep sharing the testimony of Jesus with others, even when they hate us for it. I believe just like the Jews here, what they're seeing and this pressure against them to stop working, which is effective at times. This is a moment where we've seen the church shrink back in our culture quite a bit. This is a moment where I believe the Lord would send those types of prophetic voices that would say, no, do not stop doing the work that the Lord gave us to do 2,000 years ago. Keep going. It doesn't matter if it's getting more difficult. Keep going. Keep going. Keep telling people about Jesus. Keep loving on people. Keep sharing the love of God with people. This is not a time for us to shrink back in the same way was not a time for the people of Israel to shrink back. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-week Bible study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's word. Thank you.